friends, and welcome to your Monday Night Raw review for Sunday night's main event. I am Brad the Dad, and riding shotgun with me is my tag team partner. Well, not my usual tag team partner. I'm in the lethal lottery of Raw because I won Draw Straw Raw, and this week, independent professional wrestling star Matthew Grant, come on down. You are the next contestant on Draw Straw Raw.
Oh, man. Yep, this is the real thing that's happening. No, I'm kidding. I'm super excited to chat Raw with you and be able to do a podcast with you because this is the first time we're actually on the air together. So thank you to SME Radio. Let's hopefully not have the worst Raw review on the internet.
Well, we can't have the worst Raw review on the internet because somebody's got to be doing something worse than this. But I mean, yeah, we'll just have fun with this because this was an interesting episode of Raw. Matt, I'm going to ask you the question I ask every one of my tag partners in the sequence. If you missed Raw, like my children are both in bed, it is past midnight here in Nova Scotia. And if I wake up and I see my lovely children tomorrow morning as we make breakfast and get ready for school and work and such, and they go, "What did Dad, I heard you watch Raw last night. What did we miss? What should I tell them?"
I got to be honest, like, not a terrible episode at the end of the day, but like, there wasn't anything too standout for me. Like, I really enjoyed the Kevin Owens and Gunther match, but I think other than that, realistically, there wasn't anything where I was like, you got to catch the highlights of that.
I think all we can say is that we can talk about who's in Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. We can talk about a couple of really good promos. The matches were, we had that match. The main event was good, but
I agree.
Yeah, not much in the progression of Monday Night Raws. This will go down as a kind of episode of Raw.
Kind of like, you know, come see, come saw.
Yeah, like, I feel like it is, it's like a 2.5 out of 4. Nova Scotia, my wife's teacher, they mark out of a 4-point grading scale. It's like a 2.5 or maybe like a 2+. Not failing, but certainly not going to be something that you go home, put on your fridge and say, "Look, Mom, look what I did."
I don't think I could have said it any better myself, to be honest with you.
All right, so why don't we go through this? So I have them broken up into segments and mm-hmm. I'll kind of just go through a match and then you just tell me, you know, just chime in and we'll just have a little bit of fun with this because the first notes I have for you, Matt, is Seth Rollins comes out and my wife happens to be sitting on the couch. We are binging our way through Manifest, which is a Netflix series, and we've watched everything up until the last season. The last season dropped and she's bugging me to finish this. So we're watching Manifest and I'm like, okay, I have to stop. I can't watch more than one episode. And she's sitting on the couch before she goes to bed and she goes, "What happened to Seth Rollins?" So she has not seen Seth Rollins since he was like all in black mm-hmm. and was beginning the cult leader gimmick. And now she missed the whole transformation into this zany face with giant personality. What has happened to Seth Rollins? If you haven't watched wrestling in 6 months?
It's been pretty wild to see the roller coaster that he's kind of gone on since the pandemic. He kind of took, like you said, the cult leader thing and went in a completely different direction with it. He's literally one of the most over guys in professional wrestling right now, and it's really cool to see because he is the like workhorse of that company in my opinion right now, and he deserves to be the world heavyweight champion. In terms of what he is right now, some people may not be a fan of it, but man, he is showing more charisma, more character than I think I've ever seen him show before, and that's something that I personally love to see. So I'm really digging what Rollins is bringing to the table, and again, I'm super happy to see him as the world heavyweight champion. And honestly, I think that belt looks fantastic. I know people were hit and miss on it, but I think the belt looks great. Now, his outfit, don't get me started on that one.
Wait, what was wrong with his outfit? He was wearing a golden sequined pants and jacket mix without a shirt underneath. Why was that not to your liking.
I thought he pulled something out of Jade Cargill's ring gear there or something, but no, it didn't look overly ridiculous like some of the outfits he's worn before. That's for sure.
He took an old Shawn Michaels, like he used to wear the silver like chaps, for a bit lack of a better word, and it looks like he took a gold version of them.
Yeah, you know what? That's fair. I see that.
Okay, so essentially Seth comes out and talks about how he's amazing and he wants to have these matches on Raw because it's been almost 2 years since we had a world title match on Raw. Could you imagine that it's been 2 years?
I didn't even process that until he said it. That's pretty crazy.
And essentially he begins his catchphrase, I'm a revolutionary, I'm a visionary, and he gets cut off. Out comes Judgment Day, and we get a very face Damian Priest. I mean, his little yappy, it's funny because the size difference. Finn looks like this little yappy, almost like Chihuahua style, like chirping at Seth. And Damian Priest plays it straight up as a, well, you know, I appreciate you, you're a deserving champion. I appreciate you giving me an option and give me an opportunity to wrestle for this match. And did Seth trick him into getting rid of Finn, or did he kind of willingly offer not to have Finn or any of the other members of Judgment Day at ringside for this main event?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, I'm not gonna lie. Just seeing the dissension teased with Judgment Day, they're literally, I think, the best act going, not only on the Raw brand, but quite possibly in the company right now. And I really don't want to see that break up anytime soon, but yeah, a little bit of crack shown there with the Damian Priest planning to have Judgment Day not at the side of him for the main event for the heavyweight championship match. Rollins poking fun at the Balor title reign, as Damian Priest said something about he is going to be one of the shortest reigning champions in history. And obviously we know Finn Balor, one day Universal Championship reign, thanks to the buckle bomb in the corner from Seth Rollins. So a lot of history between the guys in the ring there, and Damian Priest going one-on-one, no backup from Judgment Day.
Yeah, not the shortest one though. Ha ha ha. And looks at Finn. I think your analysis of Seth is spot on. It's the great wrestler with the great personality, and it's something to watch a guy who, you know, loves his business and is clicking in a way that very few have in the history of wrestling.
It's one of the rare sequences too where we haven't had a licensed theme song be the reason why the fans are chanting along or singing along to a theme song, which is really nice as well.
Yeah, he is. And I think the line I said to my wife was, he is, you know, what happened to Seth Rollins? He got himself over. Mm-hmm. And then she started hearing the crowd. And then she, like, the last comment to her from her on her way out of the room, she watched the end of the segment, was, you're right. He, like, they sang that song. She's like, now the question, her line was, is he popular, or is the song popular?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. And I think to the credit of WWE's music team, they're killing it right now with some of the stuff they're putting out, and that's evidence of it.
Yeah, and it's an incredible thing. And Mrs. Seth Rollins then is coming out for our segment two. Becky Lynch is in a qualified match for Money in the Bank. Matt, going into this match, was there any chance that they were going to have a pay-per-view kind of in the United Kingdom without Becky Lynch on the card?
Oh, absolutely not. However, I was questioning whether they were going to have Becky and Zoe Stark or Trish Stratus involved in the Money in Bank ladder match, or they were going to do that separately. And this kind of answered my question. I was a little bit disappointed. I'm going to be honest with you. I really enjoy the pairing of Sonya and Chelsea together, and I was hoping to see Sonya possibly in that ladder match just to see kind of the shenanigans that they get up to in that match. But obviously Becky, the star of that women's division. And like you said, you cannot have a pay-per-view in the UK without Becky Lynch part of it. So this was the right call.
Okay, so Sonya tries some plotting offense, some of that MMA style, like headlocks and strikes, but eventually Becky gets on control. When she does, out comes Trish Stratus and Zoe Stark. This is a distraction, just slightly. How many standing switches was it? I counted 12. Was that about right between Sonya and Becky after that distraction?
It was definitely around that number. I was just watching it go back and forth, and I was like, holy crap.
It looked great, and it had a great sequence. I mean, eventually, Becky catches Sonya with the manhandle slam. There wasn't too much this match. It was like 5 minutes. It's nothing to write home about, but the story of this match comes down to Becky's in this match despite Trish's best efforts for distraction. And yeah, I'm with you. I really like Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. I know this wasn't the original plan because they had somebody else in this tag team, but yeah, this might be one of the best women's tag teams on the roster.
I was going to say, for the lack of the women's division that they did have at one time, it seems like they're starting to go in the direction of, you know, actually bringing some teams up from NXT and actually establishing some teams. So it's nice to see.
Yeah, and Becky's in. So it does telegraph what happens later, right, Matt?
Yeah, unfortunately. Although I haven't had a chance to comment on this. The partnership between Zoe Stark and Trish Stratus is nice to see. I don't know whether that was a WWE creative call or maybe like a Trish personal call to help and get Zoe over, but it's really nice to see kind of the veteran aspect being established with Zoe Stark having Trish Stratus by her side.
And at the end of this, you could give Trish a happy ending to her story because she can... Zoe can turn on her. Her and Trish can have one last match. Trish can do the favors but leave as a hero.
Yep.
Segment 3. We get a recap of the Bloodline awesomeness from Friday night. And then we get Sami Zayn basically saying, I'm not the kind of guy to say I told you so. But, and then Kevin Owens is looking at him like, what do you mean? You're not the kind of guy I say I told you so. This is... Two guys living their best life.
But we probably have to bleep it if. Sami and Kevin together are fantastic.
Yeah, it's two of best friends who are just riffing, and that it comes across so natural. Speaking of natural, Kevin Owens' reaction to Imperium interrupting them, where he's like, "We didn't call you out again. You're breaking the unwritten rule. You're the professional wrestler." What is with this unwritten rule? Why is Kevin Owens taking it so personally?
I don't know, but he wasn't playing around. He strutted right to that ring and asked for the match against the Intercontinental Champion Gunther. And that's not exactly something that I would willingly ask for, but Kevin Owens is a badass. And that was a choice. That was a choice to say the least.
So what we're saying is when they're doing that Quebec City house show that we saw throughout here, you're not volunteering to, possibly sign up and wrestle Gunther in a match and take shots?
No Santino Marella business for me. absolutely not.
The other thing I like about Raw the last couple of weeks is these little vignettes that one of them pays off, which this one is the one that pays off. Caden Carter and Katana Chance doing highlights from their NXT run and putting them over as a tag team. You hinted to it already. Is this the best women's tag team to come up in the draft?
I 100% think so. I think the charisma, I think the tag team cohesiveness between the two has really been established over the past little while with them on NXT, and bringing them out to the main roster was 100% the right call, especially, like I said, with what was a lacking women's division. But you finally put Ronda and Shayna together. You got teams like Katana Chance and Caden Carter. You got teams like Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green, like we talked about. Some other established teams as well in that division. So we're finally starting to get to a point where maybe there's no reason to have two different sets of tag team titles in the women's division in WWE, but at least warrants one.
Yeah, and they are doing a great job of getting these women over really quickly. Even what happens later, they show a way. They found, WWE has found this magic formula recently where they figure out a way to, whether you win or lose a match, you can still progress a story or even actually come out ahead, even in a loss.
That's been really nice to see lately too. With the exception, obviously, of Roman Reigns, there's been a lot of that going on in WWE as of recent, like you mentioned. So it's been it's been a refreshing thing to see on WWE programming because that was not the case for a long period of time.
And clean losses making matches much more compelling. Speaking of compelling matches, this was the match you were glowing about at the beginning. Gunther versus Kevin Owens, one-on-one. No title involved with this one, but why was this kind of one of your highlights of Raw?
I think just seeing them two go at it, the two styles meshing with each other, there's no secret. Kevin Owens can brawl with the best of them, and Gunther is literally, I would say, the hardest hitting guy, not just in WWE, but in professional wrestling at the moment. So to see these two have a singles match, and have, some time to go as well was nice to see. Obviously, there's some shenanigans with Imperium and Sami Zayn. But at the end of the day, just to have the singles match happen, was something I was truly happy to have the chance to watch Raw and be able to watch this match live.
Yes, and the big turning point in this, the story of this match was that Gunther was out wrestling Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens was, Kevin Owens. He never says die. The suplex that Kevin Owens takes early, the German suplex on the back of his neck.
Oof.
Yeah, it like here's the thing. Was he selling his neck for the rest of this, or was he actually a little bit banged up?
To be honest, I wouldn't question either way.
Well, and that was the thing. It you couldn't tell either way. But meanwhile, if he sold this, it was a master's class in selling because he never stopped holding his neck. And whether that was legitimate or not, I mean, he's a tough dude. He probably didn't have to hold his neck. He just reminded us by subtly every time he hit a move or he took a move, he went right for that neck. So, any other wrestlers who are listening to this podcast, just remember the sell the body part.
It's
It
always those
made
important little details, man, that make things a little bit more believable. And that's one thing I've always admired about Kevin Owens. He's the guy that's gotten me into independent wrestling. He's the guy that I've always followed throughout his run, not only on independence, but obviously on the mainstream with WWE. So, yeah, he's literally one of my favorites of all time. And this is just a prime example of that reason.
Yeah, and at the end of this, Owens hits a stunner on Kaiser, but there's a roll up by Gunther to catch Kevin Owens. I never would have told if you had told me Gunther wins with a roll up in any match, I would have been like, why? Gunther's awesome. But this shows not only is can he win with finishers, but he can just be he's smart. He's a smart monster.
Would you say he's a ring general?
Oh, but I'm bump. Wait, I thought
No.
I was the dad and I get to make the dad jokes.
I gotta steal the line once in a while, but no, I truly enjoyed this match, like I said, and yeah, it was a little bit of a shocker to see Gunther win with a roll up, but it just protects the Undisputed Tag Team Championships, as well as shows how prestigious the Intercontinental Championship is. You obviously had the shenanigans at the end of the day, but you still showed both champions are important.
Okay, segment five starts with something that last week, I think Brady and I talked about this, or he asked about Matt Riddle, and I said I needed Matt Riddle to show some viciousness. That little segment interaction in the back where Imperium gets in Riddle's face, specifically Vinci, and then Riddle just kind of snaps and throws him in an ankle lock. Where did this come from?
Yeah, I wasn't entirely expecting this either. Kind of came out of left field, but I'm intrigued to see if this is gonna lead to Riddle challenging for the Intercontinental Championship or what exactly we get out of this going forward. But yeah, I do agree with you. Riddle was lacking some, I guess, viciousness, like you said, or just a little bit of an edge, and it's finally nice to see that. We're seeing some aggressiveness out of him.
Yeah, it was a totally different Matt Riddle, and I was very impressed. Big ups to Matt Riddle, and obviously he heard Jack Tunney Jr. was on the podcast last week, and so that's where this came from, or someone from Creative. Okay, Rhonda and Shayna, they basically are there in the back, and in comes Katana Chance and Caden Carter, the aforementioned team we saw highlights of, and this sets up a match with them. Big ups for Caden Carter and Katana Chance for standing up to two women who you probably shouldn't stand up to.
The Munchkin Land line popped me hard. I that's all I gotta say.
Well, it was good for them to call attention to it because those two ladies are very small, but it doesn't mean that they're not mighty and incredibly talented in that ring.
I know all about that. So these girls brought it, and they showed what they're about against the women's tag team champions in their debut. So props to them.
Yeah, so match three was Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler versus Katana Chance and Caden Carter. Both of these teams, though, Matt, I will make one quick mean comment. They both needed tag team names.
Yeah, that's very true. You know what? You say that. I'm kind of surprised that they haven't. I think the Katana Chance and Caden Carter team goes by the life of the party, but they haven't exactly established that. But yeah, Ronda and Shayna, they definitely need a tag name. I agree. I agree.
Something up with something around their MMA background. So the
That'd be
story of this
solid.
match is that we have two women who are former badasses in MMA, okay? And they can go as well. But Caden Carter and Katana Chance use their superior high-flying athleticism to hit some incredible moves. That neck breaker into the 450, that
So
is an
clean.
incredible. Oh, it was the timing on that is incredible.
I was really clean. I've seen them hit it before, but it's one of the cleanest times they've hit it. And what a way to stand out in your Raw debut. I genuinely thought for a second that they're gonna surprise us and give us a little bit of a non-title victory there.
So Triple H is playing with the concept of we used to have champions lose all of the time, even in non-title matches to set up future title matches. But this wasn't the case here. Eventually, we get it's so weird though. Shayna Baszler gets the Carafuta to clutch on, and I'm waiting for her song to start, but instead we get Bad Reputation kick in because they come out the Ronda song. It not that there's anything wrong with that. It just was. I just keep thinking I have Shayna Baszler's old killer theme in my head, and yeah, she doesn't even have that theme anymore, so I don't know why I'm obsessing
Oh,
about
the
this, but
NXT theme was so good, but yeah, that's one of those that unfortunately bit the dust. And yeah, I hate that sometimes when it comes to wrestling, especially on the WWE aspect where one person gets the win and the other person's music plays. It's just for me, the person who makes the victory gets the victory, their theme should play.
well, or again, to be a real tag team, they should have a tag team song. Although I guess if they're paying for Bad Reputation, they probably want to pay get some money for those royalties they're paying.
Yeah, I get as much use of it out of it as possible, or we're gonna get a terrible mashup theme.
Oh, no more mashup themes. Okay, segment six. Ricochet is in the back cutting a promo. He's interrupted by Bronson. Bronson talks of, I mean, basically talks about how he didn't qualify, but he under other circumstances he would. And yeah, Shinsuke cuts him off. I want to like this, but I don't think this was a good promo segment.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, to be honest. I don't know, like the whole Bronson Reed thing, I'm not entirely sure where they're going with it. I appreciate the fact that they're trying to make Money in the Bank feel a little bit more important with giving, some backstage promos to help build the match up a little bit more, but yeah, I don't know. This did nothing for me either.
Okay, so unless Bronson can get in some sort of last chance qualifying match, what is he doing in with these two guys who are basically having a showcase of for the Money in the Bank match?
The only thing that I can think of is maybe he takes one of them out and replaces them, but that's a weird call too.
After this week's episode of the main show, all I really want is Shinsuke to turn heel with four other guys and become a Power Ranger. So that's. If you haven't listened, if you're not a patron, I apologize. But patreon.com/snmeradio for $4 a month, you can hear us make a joke about how Shinsuke would be the best Red Ranger in the history of time.
The best.
Just the best. Speaking of the best, Johnny Gargano gets a little promo shine here where they talk about how he's the underdog. And I love these little feature pieces who, for people who don't know who Johnny Wrestling is, this gives them a chance to know why he was so special and is so special inside of that ring.
Just an example of WWE doing exactly what they do best and making some of the best video packages on the planet. This is exact way to showcase Johnny Gargano before his return. I guess he has returned, but before he gets back on WWE on a main basis, on a regular basis.
And hopefully he's in Money in the Bank.
Oh, fingers crossed, he would kill it in that match.
He doesn't have to even win. He just needs to be in this match.
He'll have a star-making performance for sure.
Oh, yeah. But two guys that are in there are Ricochet and Shinsuke Nakamura, who are having a bit of a showcase match. I mean, it's Shinsuke's strikes versus Ricochet's speed. Was there anything that Ricochet did in this match? Like, I mean, Shinsuke, he has his spots. But Ricochet tends to pull things out, and you're like, "Whoa, how did you do that?" Is there anything that you saw in this match that you're like, as a professional wrestler, "Wow, Ricochet, how did you even do that?"
Oh, the Ricochet is just, that's always something where I'm with Ricochet where I'm like, yeah, you move in a way where I don't think I could ever move. You're way more athletic than I could even ever imagine being. Even just little things like I'm hitting a shooting star press. I'm like, no, my body doesn't move like that. I'm good. I think he's just so fluent with what he does. And I props to him for slowing down a little bit too. Like, I think he's got to preserve himself and save himself, and he's starting to realize that too with some of the stuff he's doing going forward. So, yes, I did see some stuff that I was like, whoa, but at the end of the day, this is a TV match, and I think Ricochet realizes that too. And not that they were holding back per se, but they were saving some of those big spots.
Yeah, both these guys have changed their styles a little bit. Shinsuke doesn't need to land every single strike like he's trying to kick your head in. And Ricochet holds back although that thing where he now uses his opponent to post off of, like it basically
Oh,
plants on their
insane.
chest, and then does the flip, is yeah. Or when he did it last week by posting off of the corner post on the outside of the apron. But none of this match mattered because Bronson Reed came in and squished them both.
Just destroyed them.
They're building him up pretty successfully as a monster. My concern with him is he doesn't win very much.
Yeah, he doesn't seem too legitimate. I just the way they introduced him back into the company with him with Miz. I haven't really entirely been behind him. Before the pandemic and before he got released, it seemed like they were starting to do something with him. And since he's been back, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just not doing much for me.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. He's got all of the ability as a
100%.
star-making entrance. There's just he's in the Austin Theory camp for me. I can see all of the ingredients are all the right ingredients on the table, but are on under the table. They're on the table. They're on the counter. We're ready to make a cake, but there's something not quite right with the batter. And you're looking at it going, if I put this in the oven, it's not going to rise. So what that missing piece is, I don't know. If I did, I'd be working for WWE.
Ain't that the truth? Me and you both.
All right, let's do segment eight. Here we go. Alpha Academy's in the back with Maxine, and there's a little joke about him being Otis or Otis, but essentially, Chad's there to give Maxine a speech about what it means to be an alpha. Are we getting Maxine and Valhalla next week?
I don't know, but I don't know if entirely that's a good idea, or we're just going to be blown away with how good Maxine is in the ring because we haven't seen her in the ring before. I'm not entirely sure what to expect out of this match, or if it's even going to be a match, or if it's just going to be a schmoz. Again, I'm not entirely sure what to expect, but I'm a little afraid.
I have good news for you. We are not watching Raw next week. At least I know I'm not. I hope you're not, because I have a bad feeling whoever drew the straw next week is like, oh, uh-oh,
It's
I'm
gonna be like
getting.
Jenna Marasca and Charmel, man. I know.
Nope. I'm trying to think. What was the famous answer from that season with Tough Enough?
Melina
What's
and
your
Alicia
favorite?
Fox from Superstars or something like that.
Oh, that always cracks me up. Thank you for that memory. Okay, after that, we have The Miz come out because it's Miz TV time, and he got a superstar guest. It's Cody Rhodes. Adrenaline in my soul, something, something, Cody Rhodes. And he is doing it all for us. And how long is he keeping his cast?
I don't know, man. He's milking the heck out of that. They're really doing the best they can to build the babyface sympathy for him. Is it a little too much? I think so, but it is what it is. It seems like he's still super over with the crowd. They love his song. They love the whoa. Yeah, this was exactly what I expected out of the segment, although I wasn't expecting who we got as a guest.
No, neither was I. I mean, we set up the whole conflict with the Beast, and they talk about the pressures of intergenerational being an intergenerational superstar. And out comes Dominic Mysterio with Rhea Ripley. And boy, oh boy, I'm not gonna be able to recap this, Matt, because they riff on each other pretty hard.
Yeah, they were going back and forth and just letting it all out there. Even Cody saying something about how Rey Mysterio has made mistakes because Dom's one of them.
Yeah, and Cody, and Dominic riffing on him about being a bad dad because he's talking about all the places he is, but he's never home with his daughter. I hope those lines were cleared because some of that stuff cuts pretty close to the bone. But Dominic also deserves props because when he got in at the end, he took a cheap shot at as Cody's back was turned, and just. He hit him with that open-handed slap. He did not hold back. You know, it's what did the five fingers say to the face? Slap. And boy, did that crack.
I don't think there's any question right now that Dom is literally one of the hottest things in wrestling. And he continues to do things like this to show why. Literally the small things like slapping Cody, but then hiding right behind Rhea. That's
Oh yeah,
heel 101.
we glazed over the fact that Dominic had a hard time getting his lines out. And when Miz tried, and both Miz and Seth masterfully, or Cody masterfully teased the crowd to get them to boo hard on poor Dominic. It's become a great part of the show, and it's probably one of the funnest things to do if you're at a live episode of Raw is to play along with this and just boo so loud that Dominic has to yell over there. Rhea may have gotten the line of the segment though when she referred to Dominic as her Latino heat.
That got me really good. The chemistry between them two and the on-screen stuff they're doing with Rhea and Dom right now is just on another level. I'm blown away, literally blown away with what they've been able to do with them too.
And poor Miz, at the end of this, he's in the ring laughing and he just gets a titanium cast to the head. And down goes the Miz, or as Cody referred to him as Mike.
Yeah, I got a little bit of shades of Bob Orton there. I was like, are we gonna see this become like a thing for a little bit?
He's slow healing. He'll be in that cast for 12 months.
Gotta protect him some way against that Brock Lesnar Kamora.
Oh yeah. Well, segment nine, we get a Seth Rollins Judgment Day recap, and then we end up with the basically seeing the guys warm up for the main event. And Trish comes out with Zoe Starks for a Money in the Bank qualifying match. Like Zoe just comes out and there is something about her that just like screams superstar.
Yeah, you know what? At first, I was a little thrown off with the pairing between the two, but I'm really happy that they were able to make it work to the point where she is looking like a star and she's hanging in, looking like she belongs with Trish by her side. And even Natty lately, she's been just taking ass whoopings, pardon my language, but she's literally just, I think the other, what was it at the either the pay-per-view or another, it was a recent match where she got beaten like what, 90 seconds? I think it was against Rhea.
Yeah, at the PLE in Saudi Arabia, the
Yeah, so
Crown
it's
Jewel
just
event.
Natty's taking losses for the team lately and really putting over the people who matter right now.
Well, and Zoe Stark, you're right. I mean, Natty didn't get very much in this match. She just took a Z360, and this was Zoe getting in so we can have a Becky Zoe conflict in the Money in the Bank match. But are we leading towards some sort of, I don't want to say an end of Natty's career, because I mean, you know, she can still go in the ring and she's incredible, but is like this feels like we're telling some sort of story about Natty having a fall from grace.
Oh, absolutely. I think they've been kind of telling that story for a little bit now, and now whether that leads into her kind of stepping away from an active role or Whether they're going to kind of build her back up into a legitimate competitor is remain to be seen. But yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same story right now where they're kind of throwing her down the rabbit hole, and I'm kind of wondering where they're going to go with that.
The thing I'm wondering where it's going to go is when I get my regular tag team partner back on Friday, Greg and I will be talking about Bloodline and the whole story about what whether Jimmy, well, Jimmy's out of the family, but where is Jay and how does Jay fit in? And Paul Heyman was basically here to cut a promo to say, "Hey, watch SmackDown. Here's some breadcrumbs."
Yeah, I just want to take a moment really quickly out of everybody's time that's listening to this right now to acknowledge our tribal chief.
And
But no.
we slowly lifted up our fingers there during that awkward silence.
no, Heyman's just an absolute masterful human being. In terms of a performer as well, there's nobody on the level of Paul Heyman. He knows how to sell a match and he knows how to sell a segment, and this was just another example of it. It made me excited to watch the segment on Friday.
So segment 10 did not make me excited. It was Indus Shear versus former members of the Hurt Business, Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander.
can we just get the Hurt Business back together? Can we stop this teasing of putting these two guys together and acting like it's gonna happen and then it doesn't happen, and then they're gonna tease that it does by them talking backstage and then it doesn't happen. Guys, just put the Hurt Business back together and like make people happy again.
And don't make Cedric and Sheldon. The problem is that Cedric and Sheldon could take an ass whooping like nobody else, because that's basically what they're here for. Indus Shear just destroyed those two poor guys.
Yeah, I'm not too sure how I feel about Indus Shear yet. I'm gonna be honest, I'm very on the fence about the tag team. I didn't really get Veer for that whole build up either. I think Jinder was best on his own with the Singh brothers, but at the end of the day, I do appreciate the fact that WWE right now they're trying different things with Indus Shear, with Zoey Stark and Trish Stratus, with Damian Priest being in the main event with Seth Rollins. There's things where they're taking chances on people that they wouldn't normally have done before, and I appreciate that.
Matthew Grant, this is why you're a pro. You set up segment 11 and 12 because the last half an hour of this show, we get the main event. Here's the question I have for you. Are you enjoying these really long half an hour, very good, and I mean very good to great matches in the main event segment of Raw?
I actually am. It was a pleasant surprise to me too, because the match started and I kind of looked at the time and I was like, they're either getting time or we're getting a ton of shenanigans and this is going 10 minutes. But no, they actually gave the match time. Yes, we did get a little bit of shenanigans, but nowhere near to the extent I thought we were gonna get. And it was nice to see Priest being able to hang and it legitimately teasing that he could be a world champion someday.
And they gave us, pomp, circumstance, the main event, entrances. Here's the thing. Both of these guys can go in this ring. And again, if you go back and watch anything from Raw, go back and watch this match, because all Matt and I are going to do now is give you the highlights of the match and talk a little bit about the story.
Yeah, I know I raved about Gunther and Owens, but this is really good as well. I would recommend watching this.
Because we have two guys who are. We have one guy in Seth Rollins that is recognized by the industry, by fans, by podcasters as one of the best wrestlers in the world. Damian Priest, for
Thank you.
especially for, yeah, big man, he's amazing.
I was gonna say thank you because I just think of Ring of Honor and him as Punishment Martinez, and to see the growth from that to where he is today, and it's legitimately mind blowing. I did not, don't get me wrong, there was always potential there, but to see him in the spot that he's in right now and thriving as much as he is right now is really cool to see. Priest has put in so much work, and to see him again in the position that he is well deserved because he can hang with some of the best wrestlers in the world. And this just showed tonight why he's in the position that he is.
There's a ton of cool spots in this match, but it all led to the very end where Damian Priest ends up taking a buckle bond similar to what happened with Finn, where he takes it on the outside to the barricade. And this begins at the very end, near the end of the match. This happens, and his shoulder is messed up. Finn tries to interfere and super kicks Seth Rollins. That leads to a sequence inside the ring. Eventually, Damian sees him there, and he's not happy that Finn is ringside. Like, he's literally, what are you doing here?
Well, the opening segment, yeah, we had Priest promising that Judgment Day was not going to get involved. He was okay with the fact of not having Judgment Day involved, and so Finn going behind his back, I don't know.
It teased something, and that split second distracted him, and when he tries to hit the razor's edge, poor Damian Priest's arm gives out, and Seth super kick, stomp, win. And that was it was a very clean win, but the question you have to ask yourself is, if that shoulder doesn't give out, do we have a new world champion?
I think that there's a very good possibility that Priest could have walked out with that championship had that arm not given out. That Razor's Edge has won many of championships in the past, not just for Priest, but obviously, you know, the man who he pays tribute to with that move in Razor Ramon. So, I'm very blown away with the dissension that's being teased between the Judgment Day right now. Again, I think they're one of the best acts in wrestling, and to go that route is an interesting route. I hope they don't break the group up. At the very least, I hope they keep Rhea and Dom together, because those two are money together, but I think it's way too soon to even think about breaking this group up.
Well, and did Finn come out to help his buddy, or did he come out to get the rub? Because at the end of this match, we have Seth Rollins standing in the ring across from Finn Balor, and they're staring at each other and they're chirping, and Finn's kind of looking at his title. Was this Finn's intentional? Did he want to help, or did he interfere and cost his buddy the match so he could be next in line?
That's true, because as we were talking about with Becky Lynch, you can't run a pay-per-view in the UK without having Finn Balor part of it, excuse me. And I think, what better way to put him on the show than to have a banger of a match with the World Heavyweight Champion?
And does Damian Priest then cost him the title, and this leads to our dissension?
Oh, man, my heart breaks even thinking about that, but I have a feeling that might be the route we're going in.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm of the other mind. I'd like to keep all these guys together. I wouldn't even care if they found somebody like who wasn't on the show today. We didn't have no sign of Dolph Ziggler and JD McDonagh, who, boy, oh boy, I feel for JD McDonagh because I'm worried about him, but I would like him to be with Finn. I think, yeah, they would be one heck of a tag team.
Yeah, no, I guess they did tease that with Finn kind of watching him over when he got drafted to Raw, and then no sign of him. Yeah, it's interesting, kind of bringing that up. Yeah.
Yep, and we had a great end to this, and yeah, you know what? This brings an end to my trilogy of Monday Night Raws, Matt, and thank you for hanging out with me on a Monday night. I'm sorry I confused you earlier. I told Matt that I was starting the show an hour late, and he meant, does that mean we're starting the podcast early? It's just, I learned from Brady last week hearing him talk about all the commercials he watched. It's like, you never start Raw on time. It's, yeah, 2 hours of Raw, 3 hours of Raw is squeezed into 2 hours of DVR time.
No, that's you picked the smart way to do it. Unfortunately, I sat through those 3 hours, and it was a very long 3 hours. However, the episode wasn't too bad, and I thank you for having me on as well. I hope that I don't have to succumb to this pressure again and have to do this, but I'm sure we're going to be running another 2K Rumble. I made the suggestion. I think it's official. We're going to be putting everybody on the list in one side. I believe that's going to be minus you, Brad, as well, because of your past 3 weeks of running the gauntlet. But we're going to put everybody on one side that's going to be in the Rumble, and then everybody that's in the video game on the other side, we're going to do a double randomizer, and we're going to figure out who is going to be hosting this lovely podcast for the next couple of weeks.
And whether you like Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dynamite, hint, hint, collision at some point, whether you into music or you're into podcasting, pop culture, we have you covered here on the network for just $1 a week, patreon.com/snmeradio. For those of you who are patrons and getting this early, like 8 to 12 hours before everybody else, thank you. Thank you for being awesome. Thank you for keeping the lights on. And Matt Grant, we'll see what happens, because I may be off for 3 weeks, but I have a bad feeling that I'm going to get another run on Raw at some point, whether it's a long run or a short run. Yeah, but in the meantime, eventually there might be regular hosts, but I'm enjoying this. I like this thing where we get to do random combinations, and yeah, well, who knows? Maybe we'll be doing another podcast down the line somewhere.
It shows you that the SME team, we're not just a team, we're a family, and we love to interact with each other. And that's what you guys should do. Like Brad said, patreon.com/SME radio. Follow us on all the socials. Follow myself on at Matthew Grant First Days of Four. And I don't think there's really anything else on my end of things. I just appreciate you guys for listening to us and giving us the time of day.
And I'm at Brad the Dad NS. And, well, I guess there's only one thing left to say. We the ones.
Acknowledge the tribal chief.